Preacher, this is not my first time preaching. This is my first time preaching in a long time. I want to thank the Lord that He does not give up on His people. I run from God for about 2 decades. There were some things that transpired in my early 20s after God called me to preach. Back then, I preached in nursing homes. I preached in jails in Pickens and Greenville County. I even preached on the side of the road up off of White Horse Road a few times. And I tell you, that's a dangerous thing to do these days. You might get something sharp or something hard thrown at you. But I ran from God after a series of events transpired in my life. And I want to thank God that He didn't give up on me. He didn't turn His back on me. He called me to do something. And the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And I want to thank God tonight that just a few months ago, God recommissioned me through this man's preaching to preach the Word of God. And I got done running. I said, yay, Lord, and submitted to Him. And I've been waiting and praying for the opportunity to start. And I've been trying to let God have His timing in this thing and work some things out in my life. I ran from God for 20 years, but hey, He still was molding me and shaping me throughout that entire time. So I thank God for His patience in my life and His long suffering towards me. And I want to thank Preacher. Lord, I thank God for Preacher and his friendship and his encouragement to me since in the last 2 years since me and my family have been here. And I thank him again for allowing me the opportunity to share the Word of God from his pulpit. If you would, open your Bibles tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter number 17. I'll give you a little backstory here. The nation of Israel been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. Most of us know this. God sent his man, and God always sends a man to do what it is he has purpose to do upon this earth. Like our pastor, he sent this man here, Preacher Kerrigan, he sent here to be the pastor of Morningstar Baptist Church. He uses men to lead other people. These people have been in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. They've been in captivity. They've been enslaved. They've been working their fingers to the bone day and night serving the Egyptians. But God sent his man down there after God heard their cry and delivered them out of the bondages that they were in Egypt. He sent that man, Moses, to lead them from point A to point B. Through the wilderness, through the Red Sea, he delivered them on dry ground using the same man, Moses, who had that rod he held up in the air, and God split the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. He also used Moses when he commanded Moses when the people of Israel murmured against him and said, "You bring us out here in the wilderness to starve?" And God used Moses to deliver them manna and quail to eat. And it was within just a little while they were murmuring again, saying, "We are thirsty." And Moses went to God, even scared that he was going to be stoned. Here in the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, saying, "These people are going to stone me. How am I going to help them?" And God told Moses to take that same rod and smite a flinty rock. And God brought forth fresh water out of that rock and satisfied their thirst. Just within the next few verses, starting in verse number 8, I'll begin reading. If you would read along with me in verse number 8. "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, 'Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand.' So Joshua said as Moses said, so Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you tonight, Lord, and I acknowledge my utter lack of ability. Lord, I thank you, dear God, for the Word of God. I thank you for allowing me to stand before your people in your house to open your Word and give the word of God to your people. Lord, I ask you to help me and be with me now as I try to preach this message, Lord. I love you and I thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I got this sermon, and it was inspired by Brother Jones this past Sunday when he was talking about Googling things and looking up YouTube videos. Brother Stephen shared with us a while back that he was interested in sword making. And you shared with us how you've gone and looked those up and watched all these how-to videos. Well, I titled this sermon tonight, based upon that information, How to Support, and I didn't give you the full title, preacher, How to Support Your Pastor. Number one here, we see there is a pecking order. There is a chain of command that God had in the nation of Israel, and it is true also for the church house. First, there are five main characters here. Number one being God. Number two being Moses. Number three, Joshua. And then Aaron and Hur. God told Moses to lead the children of Israel, just as he has instructed our pastor to lead us. When the children of Israel, when they had a problem, they didn't go here, there, and yonder. They didn't go to the deacon. They didn't go to the Sunday school teacher. They went to Moses. And I believe in the church house, that's what we ought to do. If I have a problem, if I have an issue in my life, I'm not going to go to Joe Blow that fills a pew. I'm going to go straight to my pastor and seek counsel with him. First, I'm going to go to my God in prayer, and I'm going to seek his face. But if I cannot find that direction, I know that I have a second. I have my pastor that I can go to, and I thank God for that. And I thank God for him always being there for me. And I've come to him with numerous multitude of issues as being a member of this church. He's probably gotten sick and tired of me calling and texting him on occasion. But there's also those that are under him, those that help support him, being Joshua, Aaron, and Hur. They were close to him. Aaron and Hur, to the best of my knowledge, that was his brother and his nephew. Hey, if you want to be close, if you want to have a good relationship with a pastor, hey, get close to him. Get close to him. Hey, it will help you in your Christian life to stay close to your pastor. There's been times when I got away from God, and first thing that would happen, there would be a distance formed between me and my pastor. And he could always tell it. And he would always call me or text me and say, hey, man, where you been? It's amazing how God gives the pastor that instinct to know where his people are. So, as there's a pecking order in Israel, there's also a pecking order in the church house, and I know I'm repeating myself, but God is to be the preeminence. He's the sovereign leader of the church house. I'm glad that I'm not a Roman Catholic. I don't have to go to some cardinal, some priest to gain help from the Word of God. I can go straight to God Almighty in my prayer closet and seek His face one-on-one as friend with friend. But He has also given us pastors according to His heart. What does that mean? I mean, I've heard that said. I've heard that scripture quoted 1,000 times. But what does it mean? He's given us pastors according to His heart. The way God feels about you in His heart, He gives you the man of God that will portray that feeling of love and compassion and patience. He will give that to you in the form of your pastor. Every pastor is different, but every congregation is different. Every person is different in their own heart and mind. So God will give you a pastor according to how He wants to portray Himself to you. God knew that I needed a kind, patient, compassionate pastor. That's why I have this man right here, and I thank God again for him. Well, God had just brought the children of Israel through this time where they were thirsty. And God brought them rock from this flinty stone where Moses smote the rock and satisfied them. But God in His infinite wisdom knew that they needed that at that exact time. Because if you look at verse 8 again, it says Amalek was coming. Guess what? God gives you and fulfills your need in your life. He blesses you with these things. But guess what? Because He knows there's something coming up down the road. Amalek is coming to fight with the children of Israel. It's not going to be all roses. It's not going to be all blessings. God is going to send stuff our way, and we're going to have to fight. Hey, I know I fight. I fight with my flesh. I fight with worldly things on a daily basis. But Moses did not go down to the fight. He said, choose you out men and send them to fight. Joshua being the leader of those men. But I like what Joshua's response was. Look in verse number 10. So Joshua did as Moses said unto him. If you want to support or encourage your pastor, hey, guess what? Live what he preaches. Do what he says. It's not him that's saying it. This man could go get a job at the Ford dealership working on cars. He does not have to be here pastoring us, but God gave him to us as a leader. And if we just simply live and take hold of what he preaches from this pulpit, it will enrich our lives and it will help us to live for God. So that's exactly what Joshua did. All right. So I'm going to wind down, and I'm going to leave it pretty much right there. But I will say this before I sit down. Aaron and Hur followed him to that mountaintop. They didn't go like Peter, James, and John did in the garden, where Jesus went and prayed and was under deep, heavy burdens over our sin, and Jesus found them an hour later sleeping. They didn't do that, as most Baptists would do. Just give God half, or give their church half, or a percentage of their lives or their heart. They went all the way to the top of the hill. They went all the way. And if you want to follow an example tonight of how to live your Christian life and how to encourage your pastor, simply live what he preaches you and give your whole heart and your whole life to God. Thank you.